Blog Talk Radio.
Cry until the tears dry up.
says, one day when I stopped, I was able to stop crying. I can't tell you how long it lasted, but one day I could think about my grief, but there was no tears anymore. So whenever those tears dry up, then you know that you have gone through another stage and been able to get through that stage in your life. Some people find that it's embarrassing or difficult to cry. But find a way to have a good cry. You will quickly discover how smoothing and healing your tears can be. Some people find places to cry. Some people go to the gravesite to a good place to cry. You can go, sometimes some people cry in the car. I cried up and down the expressway for months until one day the tears dried up. Weeping is perhaps the most human and most universal of all relief measures. If a good cry is helpful, then 2 good cries, 3 or 4, 20 or 30 are even better. A good cry can release the tension and sadness inside. So, I advise you, it is safe to cry. Crying can be powerful, a powerful healing force. So go and have yourself a good cry. It's all right. Now we're going to go into the first year. The first year are the first, are experiencing the first holiday. Some of you may have had the first year or some not. But because you are listening to me tonight, you have experienced Thanksgiving, and now you're getting ready to experience Christmas. And just knowing that you will get through. Because what God says in Joshua 1:9, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So all these different times that you have cried, had that good cry, God has been right there. Has been his angel dispatched. So he could be there whenever you really need him most. So that first holiday, that first birthday, that first Christmas, the first vacation, and on, you will likely begin to encounter your own painful first without your loved one. Each first makes us relive our loss and stir up the intense pain we first felt. Anniversaries, holidays, we may dread these days in advance. Agony comes, but we have to embrace them. Embrace them. We have to go through them. But just knowing that God will get you through each step of the way, one day at a time. The first year, Thanksgiving, your husband may be the one that carved the turkey. That is a memory. But you've gotten through Thanksgiving now, so you're here dealing with Christmas. Each first brings back the intense hurt we initially felt. We typically grow a little stronger afterwards. The second then hurts a little less, and the third hurts even less still. These occasions may always hurt some, but in time, they will always begin to jog warm memories of your loved one that will bring comfort to smooth pain. And those comfort is different things, laughter, or something that you two experience. just different things that have happened, vacation or anything, birthdays or whatever, that was very happy. Those moments that you will be able to smile. And some tears might come down as well, but those are the moment that they're talking about that will bring comfort to smooth pain. Holidays can be one of the most difficult first after your loved one has died. November and December is one of the two most difficult holidays to get through. But you can get through it. Now, let's talk about ways, tradition. Sometimes we want to avoid traditions because it hurts so much. Some of us during the holiday, like Christmas, exchanging gifts. What the spouse did before he passed away, what the child did, what you experienced when doing Christmas morning, whatever loss, there's some type of memory that you have to deal with for the first Christmas, the first year. But just knowing that those things can help you, traditions for future years. Don't be afraid to change some tradition. So just knowing that you don't have to change everything about that, your last Christmas, even though he, she is not there. Another thing, don't be afraid to keep some tradition. Now, there's a tradition that I told you, mentioned before, that I keep, is buying of the honey baked ham. My husband loved honey baked ham. So Alexia is buying the honey baked ham this year. So she knows the story about the honey baked ham. So she's going to purchase the honey baked ham this year. But because she has in-laws that are coming to town. So we are getting that honey baked ham because we know the story that Al loved honey baked ham. So that's one of the traditions we are going to keep. Plan a way to remember your loved one. Light a special candle. Share a favorite memory. Read a letter or story the person wrote. And also I mentioned before, go and buy yourself a journal. Write some stories and memories about your loved one in the journal. And maybe next year when Christmas, the holiday comes around, you can go back and read what you wrote about that loved one. And just seeing how you felt at that time and how you feel in reading it the next year. So that is something that you can do as well, too. Be ready to give and take. If you are sharing a holiday with family members or other who are grieving the same loss that you, just knowing that you are not the only one that's grieving over that loved one. If you lost your spouse, your kids are going through those emotions as well. So try to help them to get through this first Christmas, the first year. And we sometimes forget that children grieve too. They grieve differently. They keep it inside sometimes. They keep it inside and then they don't talk about it. But sometimes you can tell by their behavior. They start acting different. So just knowing that children grieve differently. And we must also notice those things, so we can be able to help them get through their journey through grief as well. And that's also if you lost a sister. Just knowing that those children of your sister is going through different things. So what you want to do something special for those children to let them know that their sister, that their mother is your sister, but their mother was very loved. And just different things that maybe your sister did, or even, like I told you, cook a dish if your sister was favored in cooking brownies or whatever, bake some a batch of brownies and take it to the children. There's so many things that you can do to help you through this moment and help others as well. So don't get in a place where you are thinking about oneself. Try to think of others as well. And when you try to do something for someone else, it helps you to get through. And that's something that you can really do that will help you as well. The next thing is know your limits. Grief is hard work, and holidays can be physically and emotionally draining. Take good care of yourself. Don't overextend yourself, and don't be afraid to say no. If you don't want to go to every party that you're invited to, it's okay to say no. But it's also important for you to share times with friends and family. Sometimes it'll bring a lot of laughter, and you won't be thinking about the moment, the grieving, being alone, and whatever. It is okay to smile and to laugh. And if you want to laugh or smile, if you want to. So just know that it is okay. Don't think that if you're laughing too much that people are going to say, oh, she stopped grieving. She's okay now. No. It's okay to have fun, too. Let me give you a short story. We went on our first retreat and trip for the widows. We went to Callaway Garden, and we went out to dinner, and we were all sitting. It was a bunch of us. I forgot how many. And we were laughing and joking around and whatever. So this couple came over and said, wanted to know what type of a group that we were and the name of our group, and also wonder, you know, why we were so happy and kidding around, whatever. And when we told them that we were widows, they looked at us funny because they thought that we would be sad and crying and all that stuff like that. No, we were having a good time. That doesn't mean just because we are widows that we're supposed to look like sad folks. So it was just so funny how they came over and wondered what group, you know, we were. So that's something to think about. The next thing is just knowing that God, focus, pray, much prayer. I will tell you that you will be able to get through things better when you go through those emotions, go someplace in a quiet place or whatever, and talk to God. Pray. Ask God for that inner strength and that comfort that you need to get through that time that you experienced right then and there. The best medicine is to go to God in prayer. He's the one going to get you through all of these different stages. Those other things that I mentioned to you will help, but God is always your source of need to get through these different things. So don't forget to pray. Sometimes you might be feeling that God is not there. He's right there. He finds ways. When you pray and ask him for guidance and everything, he's going to give you a message some kind of way. If you turn on the TV to a spiritual show, that message is going to be just for you. Or one of your friends call, or you read something, God is going to show you that he's right there by your side. And he's going to get you through this time in your life. I know it doesn't feel good. It hurts. Yes, it hurts when you lose a loved one. Someone that you're close to, we're not just talking about spouse. We're talking about loss of children, loss of sisters, brothers, mothers, whoever. It hurts. Yes, it hurts. But God is walking with you every step of the way. And I'm sure that you have found so far that there's certain things that you have gone through that you saw, that you felt the Spirit of God. He allowed you to feel him and know that he, in spite of your hurt and how upset you are, or whatever the feelings, the emotion that you're going through, that he's right there by your side. He's a good God, and he will never leave you or forsake you. I am a living witness, And I'm sure many of you that's on the air can have a testimony of your own, how good God is. So we got to focus on him. Even all of those different advices I have given to you, just knowing that God will be with you. Just like in Joshua 1:9 that I read before, that do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It says just God will do just that. So even all these things that I've said means nothing. Just make sure that you stay focused on God and be in prayer. Pray without ceasing. And I wanted to see if our guest is on the air for a few minutes, and then I'm going to end it with something else. Hold one second. Let me see if I can look at her numbers, because we have a lot of you on the air tonight. I thank you so much. Sheila?
Hey, Mary.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. So what I want, I'm going to give you air, and I want you to do your thing. Just remember, I need to make a last minute appeal.
That's fine.
So,
and if I get carried away, you just keep ringing.
I'm going to have to, yes. Go ahead.
Well, first, I want to say hello to everybody. I am just so, always so delighted to have the opportunity to chat with you all. It's the end of the year. We only have about 10 days left in the year. And so I wanted to chat with you about some of the things that you really want to make sure that you're taking care of before the year ends, because once December 31st at midnight passes, there are some things you're not going to be able to make some adjustments in. So let's first start talking about taxes. December 31st is the last day that you can make charitable contributions. So if you know you are taking deductions on your tax return and you want to make sure you get all your charitable contributions in before December 31st. So if you go online, you got all the way up to 11:59 to make your contributions, because when you make it by credit card or electronically, even if the money hasn't left your account, you're still good for this year. If you're writing a check, you want to make sure it is postmarked or put in the mail so they'll have a postmark for December 31st. So charitable contributions are a big deal. Also, if you want to go through and do some last-minute cleaning out of your house and you want to donate some things to your local charity, you want to get those in before January the 1. Also, if you want to make sure that your taxes are paid on your house, you want to make sure any mortgage payments that are need to be done, all those have to be in, because otherwise you won't get credit for this year. You'll have to wait till next year to get credit for that. So those are deductions or things like that you want to be mindful for. And also, as you get older or as your mortgage interest on your house decreases, you may not even be able to itemize. So you want to make sure you are knowing each year, do I need to be itemizing or do I need to take the standard deduction? So you're going to talk to your tax advisor about that, and that person will surely be able to help you with that information. Also, another thing that you need to know by the end of the year is if you are 70 and a half years old and you have an IRA, you need to be sure that you're taking your required minimum distribution. Your financial institution probably sent you something in the mail. You may have known what it was or you may not know what it was. But if you don't take the distribution by December 3rd, they penalize you 50% of the distribution amount. So if you should have gotten a check for $400 and you didn't get that check by December 31st, then your penalty is going to be $200. So you don't want to give your money away. So if you're 70 and a half you have an IRA, you want to check into that. So if you hadn't gotten a check in the last couple of months from your IRA, if you're 70 and a half, you want to make sure you check on that. The only exception to that is if you turn 70 and a half this year. If you turn 70 and a half during a year of 2017, they give you until April to do it. But for those of you who are 71, you should have already done it. Have any questions, you know you can always give me a call. There are lots of changes in the tax law. Most of the stuff that you're hearing in the news really doesn't apply until your next year's tax return, but there are some changes that's going to apply this year. I'm not going to get into that because they're still debating some things. I do want to talk about on the tax return something, a filing status called qualifying widower. Want to make sure you know that's a special tax provision in the law just for widows. Isn't that cool? The tax law's got something in place just for you. And what that means in the year that your husband passes when you file your tax return, you can still file a joint tax return. So no matter where in the year he passed away, when you file your tax return, you can still file a joint return. So if your husband passed away this year, when you file your tax return, you can still do a joint return, even if you didn't do a joint return with him in the past. So remember that, because that's going to probably give you a more favorable filing status. But let's say your husband passed last year. If you still have children or dependents, you can file qualifying widow. You can file that for 2 years. So married filing jointly the year he passed, and then the 2 years after that, you can file qualifying widow as long as you have a dependent. After, if you don't have a dependent, then you go to single, and you want to be careful about that, because the difference in your tax practice for married filing jointly and single is significant. So you want to make sure that maybe you don't owe any money. So sit down. That's one of the things that you should do when your husband passes. You should sit down with your tax person and find out how is his passing is going to affect your tax return. And when it's time to sign the return, if this is the year that your husband passed, your tax advisor is going to show you how the return has to be signed, because your husband's name is on it, but he's certainly not here anymore. So those couple of things I did really want to mention to you about that. Also, there's a lot of changes in the health care laws. So if you're on, if you have health insurance and you're not understanding what those changes are, December 15th was the last day to make a lot of changes. But if you're still beyond that date and you're still not sure and still haven't made some decisions, that's another topic. You can give me a call and we can talk about, because it can be quite confusing. Let's talk about finding somebody to prepare your taxes. I know a lot of people like to do their own taxes. I don't recommend that. It's like you don't want to really work on your own car. You don't really want to be your own attorney. So you really don't want to do your own taxes. You want to make sure that the person who's preparing your taxes is, first of all, available all year round, because the IRS works all 12 months of the year. So if you get a letter in the mail or anything happens, you want the person who prepared your return to be available to help you address any of those concerns. You want to make sure that person is very trustworthy, because you're giving them a lot of your information. You may want to work off a referral, or, of course, you can always give me a call, but you want to make sure that the person you're using is very reliable, because tax people are folks that have a reputation for always not being very trustworthy. So you want to make sure that that person is disposing of your information properly. And disposing properly means they put it actually in a shredder. So those are some of the things I wanted to kind of mention to you. There are so many other things. You want to make sure you get your life insurance in place. You want to make sure you get your wills in place. So let me give you my phone number so you can reach me if you have any questions, or you can always call Mary. You can reach me at area code 404-713-2390. Again, the number is 404-713-2390. We care a whole lot about you, so let us love on you, and we pray that God will just continue to guide and keep you and provide you all the financial support you need. All right, Mary, I think I got it all
okay.
done without breathing.
Yes. Yes, you did. Thank you so much, Sheila. I hope that she was very helpful. You jot some of this information down that she shared with you, and you can always contact her. She's been in the financial advisor business and tax business for years, and she, like I say, knows her. But let me, I only have 1 minute left. I hope that you have enjoyed this 6 week grief session. I hope it's helped you during this holiday season. And I would like for you to email me or text me. Some of you have my number. Email me, marymhollis@aol.com. marymhollis@aol.com. Just text me and let me know how you've enjoyed this this grief 6 week session. Give me comments or anything that I would like to for you to share. The other thing is, it's been a pleasure in doing God's will, and I hope that, like I say, this you will have a wonderful, blessed holiday season. Be blessed, and thank you so much for tuning in to the next chapter of Widows Ministry Talk Show 6-week series, Getting Beyond the Holiday Blues. Be blessed and have a great holiday season. Good night.
Your hand holding me, and how could I